Hey folks, this is Gus G from Firewind, and you're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Gus G, man, I'm Dave. That's Shane right there. The album is Stan United, came out March 1st. The latest single is Fallen Angel, and it's heavy. The whole album's heavy, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your 10th release. Is that right?
Thank you. Yeah, 10th album. Yeah.
How does that feel, going into this album and just what are you feeling right now? It's got to be a thrill to play these new songs on the road.
It's good. I mean, it's good to revamp the set list, have, make it a bit more fresh, to add some new stuff. They're all the new material that we've been playing gets really good reaction right away. Even they're brand new songs, so this is a good sign, I guess.
2024 has just started off as a banger. I mean, you guys are out with new material, Bruce Dickinson, Priest, Ace Frehley, that's more hard rock, but still, I mean, like, and there's still more cool stuff coming out. Saxon put some stuff out not long ago. I mean, how does it feel to be a part of this really cool, I mean, I think probably the best year for metal, like new stuff coming out in a long time? That's what it seems like.
You're right. Like it's a really interesting time for like the classic metal right now. I mean, there's a lot of modern bands that are doing amazing things, but
yeah,
like you just said, Saxon put a great album out. Bruce Dickinson played a great album. Put out a great album. Which I, by the way, I played a solo on his new album too.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. I want to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Judas Priest killer album, Invisible Shield. I just heard it the other day. So like all the like the you know. The you know our fathers of metal are still alive and well, and they're kicking ass more than ever. So it's just great. It's a great month, actually. March, all these guys put out albums, so yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah,
well, we wanted to ask you about the Mandrake project. You played on Eternity Has Failed. How did that whole thing come about, Gus? Were you in the studio with them, or did you work remote, or how did that whole process, and how did you end up playing on that?
Yeah, it was done remote. I was on tour, actually, when I got the call to do the solo. Just like now, in a room somewhere in Europe. And we had a day off, and I booked like a hotel room, and I set up a small home studio. And I just recorded there my solo, and I sent it over to Roy Z. And, I mean, it came through Roy, actually. I never got to interact with Bruce or talk to Bruce, but I've known Roy for a long time. We've been buddies for we've been friends for 21 mm-hmm. years. So we go way back. We toured together when I was in Aussie and he was playing in Rob Halford's solo band. So we did a couple of months together in America. So yeah, it's just it's a relationship that goes way back. And he kept telling me, I knew he was working on a new Bruce album for a long time. He said, I'm working on it, but we don't know. And he said, he always kept telling me, oh man, I would love to do something, have you on there and we could just trade leads. I was like, yeah, hell yeah.
Oh man.
Whenever you want, just let me know and I'm here. And finally, he just reached out and said, hey man, I'm doing this and I have this song. And it's like, it's another Maiden song, Iron Maiden song that it's like a reimagined version of it because it was originally a Bruce song that Steve Harris heard it and they Maiden took it, blah blah blah, and then now Bruce is doing like the original version of it. I'm like, oh cool. So yeah. I'm just forever thankful to Roy for this opportunity. So Roy, if you're watching this, thank you, brother. I love you.
Bruce has always had such a unique sound, and to be part of that, it's gotta feel really cool, because his solo stuff is like otherworldly.
It's as big of an honor and a thrill like as the time when I played with Ozzy, and I hearing your guitar tone next to those legendary voices, it's like, oh my god, is that really me there? Like it's just mind blowing. So
yeah man,
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, totally, dude. Yeah.
when you do the solo and stuff for that, are you trying to keep the original out of your head, or are you just trying to approach it from a completely different place when you get an assignment like that?
Well, obviously, in if we're going to talk about this specific song right now, Eternity Has Failed, obviously there was a guideline a little bit because there was a melody, a guitar melody that kept going on for, I think, a minute and a half. And then there was like these breaks with lead breaks. So I did re-record the original melody like it was, you know, I didn't mess around with that. I did it my way, but I still kept all the notes intact as they were. And then like on top of that, like I traded leads with Roy, basically. I think Roy takes the first lead and I do another one. So I think what I did there was just, if I remember correct, I just recorded all over the place. I just sent a lot of tracks. And yeah. I said to Roy, because he didn't tell me what will go where. I said, okay, here it is. Do your magic over it. You know, edit out the parts you don't want to keep. Keep what you want to keep. Let me know. It was like one of those things.
Yeah.
And I just let him do his thing. And I hadn't heard the mix until actually the album came out. I didn't even dare to ask. You know, I was like, okay. Yeah. But I did get a message from him at some point and said, oh yeah, Bruce heard the solo, he loved it. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah.
You have such a unique career, Gus. You're a journeyman. You play with a lot of different people. You guest on a lot of things. Even on dark metal band from Greece, the Daylight Misery, which I love that track. I mean, I love that EP and stuff. And
oh, you know that? Okay.
Yeah, I just fell in my lap somehow, but I just, how do you, when you were working with Ozzy and you're in this band kind of situation, and I know there were some communication issues and stuff, we don't have to get into all that, but was that hard for you? Cause you were sort of saddled in that situation where you were waiting to do work and, or were you just doing your own thing anyway, while you were still working with in that period of time?
Well, I mean, when we knew we were doing stuff and it was happening, it was, you know, it was great. It's the thing is, when the tour ended, you never knew what was coming up next or if you were still part of the team. So, yeah. And I understand because, you know, they have other things to do. They have a lot of things that they're doing. You know, the Osbournes is a multi, it's a brand, it's a big brand that has, what do you call it? Like multi businesses, passive. I guess.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, I wasn't sure what was going on at all times. But, you know, for a good amount of years, they kept calling me back to do, whether it was one-offs or short tours, you know, because my original deal that I had with them was to do an album and a world tour. Mm. And, but, you know, I kept on working with them until, I don't know, for like, it went on for 6 or 7 years, which was fantastic, you know. Yeah. But of course, you know, like when you never know what's going on the next day, you need to, at some point you need to plan your own future, your own thing. And I wasn't sure. So yeah, that was like the only kind of, if I can say down part of it, but you know, it was such an incredible and unique experience. That's, you know, that stuff doesn't even matter. So
if they did like a final show, Ozzy's last hurrah, and they ask you to come on, are you still talk to him and everything? Would you jump on board?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I mean, I'm in really good terms with them. I love them. I owe a lot of my career to them. They have done, you know, they had Ozzy and Sharon gave me an amazing platform. You know, they took me. I mean, I had a career before that, but when I joined his band, you know, that became like such a worldwide thing, and they just helped me establish my own name and my brand, and I'm forever grateful to them for that. So if Ozzy was ever to do a last show or whatever, and he wanted to invite old friends back, I'd be there in a heartbeat. You know, it's up to them, really. I don't think there's a this is not a question for me, really. I would of course go there and be with him for one last time or whatever. I mean, I know they've been talking about it, so I don't know. I really don't. I'm not to that other part of it. Like you say, if I'm in touch with them, I'm not really in touch with them anymore. In that kind of like daily sense, you know, it's more like the occasional email, like Merry Christmas and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
But
What do you feel like? I mean, just to be, is it still a pinch me moment? Do you still pinch yourself and say, you know, I was in the same spot as, you know, Zach Wilde, you know, Randy Rhodes, Zach Wilde, Jake Lee. It's like, it's got to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I still think about that. Like, why, how, you know? But whenever I ask myself these weird questions, because I don't have the answers to those things, I always say that, well, he knows, he made the choice. So if he made that choice and it worked for him and he thought I was a good fit for his band, then that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Because he gets to choose. He can play with whoever he wants and he gets to choose who's next to him. So I after that, I ask no more questions, you know?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
Rudy Sargent.
Hi, this is Steve Hackett.
You folks are just recommend a triumph from a talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Yeah!